It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian
and Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness. And we're here this Sunday, too. We're here with Will and Madeline Tuttle. And, you know, they travel around the world and they have such a huge, human, important message. And, Will, you're coming out with a new book.
Right. Yeah. I've been working on this for a few years and it's finished. It's at the publisher, Vegan Publishers in Boston, and it should be out in the early part of 2024 in February, something like that, or March. So basically, it's the underlying idea, the message is, again, the good news that all of us have this wonderful physical body that doesn't require any animals to suffer. But because we enslave them, not only do we get our health harmed, but we also find that we are living increasingly, if we're not careful, in a slavery system for humans, like on a factory farm ourselves in many ways, that the seeds that we sow in our treatment of other living beings always boomerang back. And I used to teach college courses in comparative religion, and I love to just look at the different religions of the world and how they all basically agree on the essential teachings. Don't do to others what you would not want to have done to yourself. And what goes along with that is whatever you sow, so shall you reap. So this basic idea, this is essential wisdom. When we hear this in the marrow of our bones, we go, yes, we know that's true. And we've all suffered. We don't like to suffer, and we don't like to inflict suffering on other beings unnecessarily. And so if you look at the average American or average human being, they absolutely agree that we should not commit gratuitous violence on animals. But most of them are eating them. And so they are committing gratuitous violence on animals.
That's
not necessary. They have a cat and a dog, but then they're buying veal and bacon and chicken and cheese and eggs and so forth. And so there's a disconnect. And I think that's really the thing. So the point is, though, not to blame anyone or criticize, but just to understand that we've all been wounded. We were taught that by our parents, who were taught that by their parents. And it goes through the generations. And now it's time for us basically to heal this ancient wound, to right this wrong, and I think really to see the truth that we've been deceived. We don't need to eat animals to be healthy. Where, like we were saying in the other show, we don't eat like lions. We eat more like vultures. You know, yeah. The food is already decaying. We come. You know, we're really not predators. We're more like parasites, right? We're just eating this like parasites. And so what we find is that we have a predatory, and in effect, in many ways, a parasitic class of plutocrats. You know, super wealthy people who basically suck our energy and our money, and we don't realize it.
And by the way, when they're sick, who do they come to?
Right.
It's the Institute.
Yeah.
I know some of them.
Some of these people, right, if they're smart.
They don't go to the system they've created because they know it doesn't work.
They know.
Yeah.
Right. It's an enslavement system.
It is. It's actually an enslavement system. So the whole idea, again, is to heal that. Everyone, for us to wake up, basically, to what's been happening and to take responsibility for the quality of our food, take responsibility for the quality of our relationships, take responsibility for the quality of our information, and take responsibility for the quality of our consciousness. And I think we can all do that. Instead of running to the doctor, you know, people say to me, gosh, you know, I heard you haven't been to a doctor or to a drugstore in 50 years. You haven't gone once. How's that possible? And I say, well, I mean, one reason is I haven't had a television in 50 years. You know, that's part of it, because I haven't been subjecting myself to the fear porn and the deception that's streaming out in programs.
I love term, fear porn.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, people say they're watching a TV program. They're getting programmed. It really is a program, and the ads in between they all work together. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that I escaped that 50 years ago, and I also discovered the benefit of a plant-based diet. I became a vegetarian 50 years ago, basically 49 years ago in 75. And then now I've been a vegan for 44 years. And I would say the smartest thing I ever did, besides marrying my wonderful, beautiful
and
wife.
How long have you been together?
And we've been together now,
32?
Yeah, 32 years, happily married, and yeah, it's
that's
been
wonderful.
Fantastic.
When you write books, I mean, you know, sometimes my name's on it, sometimes both of our names on it, but I'm sure that you're a big part, if not the major reason he writes these books and you have input. How come we always, you know, we sit and talk about hierarchical societies and still we sit in this room and we're hierarchical. So we men speak and we men displace, but
uh-oh.
without Anna Maria, I would not be Brian.
Right.
Or would the Institute be what it is.
Yeah.
So how do we get beyond it? It's you talk now.
I think I like actually to be the quiet voice behind the scene. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like that. I'm very creative. I use a lot of time for creativity of any kind. And but then we talk a lot about what he's doing. He reads me always the articles before sending it off. And sometimes I feel that's a little too risque.
Uh-huh. Oh, he does that. That's how you have 32 years of good marriage. He has a sentence or two in there you can't put out. You have to edit.
Edit that.
And so we have a good time. Sometimes we linger on a beach and just talk about things and about our travels, about what's really important in this world. And you know, about the health, that's nothing abnormal that one doesn't go for 50 years in a pharmacy. This should be the norm.
Should be normal.
Yeah, and then why do you have to go, we should say.
Yeah. And then one goes to Hippocrates Health Institute to get a holiday, to reboot, to learn more, to enjoy this wonderful paradise there. It's not just a building where one gets educated and doesn't have a way to go. No, one can go on swings, one sees all these beautiful statues. And I mean, it's just absolutely gorgeous. So
most likely have met him, but we'll tell a story to people all over. About a month ago, we had a gentleman come who doctors told him he was very, very sick. And the more they treated him, the sicker he got. And now he was on his way to be bombarded with conventional treatments for cancer. And so went from a stage one to a stage four, and he was on his way to the top institution in the world for this. People fly into the United States for it. So he came to me, he's not poor, and he said to me, beyond lifestyle, what else can I do? And there's a type of advanced medical treatment that Anna Marie and I totally love and support that we're hoping will come onto the property in the next couple of years, where they take blood out, heat it at exactly 107.4, put it back in, and have had remarkable reversals looked at by the FDA to such a point that it's been approved for cancer treatment and viruses and bacteria for everything. So it happens to be the doctor who is actually the main physician in Vithermia is an incredibly good human being. Just a really nice, I've never met him physically, but I'll tell you, I could feel the love. I could feel the honesty, the authenticity, and no pretense, just right there. And we gave him the number and he called up and said, well, before we treat anyone, we're going to test you. So they tested him. His cancer was in total remission after a month with us. And he said, you don't need us. He said, continue to do this. And if you want to be tested in the future, that's it. But these are the things that you see. But this man, and I'll speak freely because we're not giving a name, had the inherent ability to know how to heal because he had an alcohol problem in the past. Mm-hmm. And once you conquer a demon, you know how to conquer a demon.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I've always seen that people who conquered demons in the past, almost in every case, conquered the disorder, conquered the disease.
Yeah. I think it's really, in many ways, like you're saying, it's a matter of practice, like developing an ability. There's a great story, I think, from the martial arts tradition in China that kind of sums it up just briefly. There was a father who had three sons and he wanted to test their ability in martial arts. And so he just had someone hiding behind the door and he called them in one after the other. So when he called the youngest son in, so he had the least practice, and he walked through the door, this assailant who was behind the door attacked him and just hit him and knocked him down. And he was like lying there on the floor bleeding, you know? So he said, what happened? He said, well, I was just testing you. So then the second son came walking through the door And the same thing happened. The assailant attacked him, but this time he had more practice. And so he whirled around in lightning speed and blocked the assailant and knocked him down. So there was basically no violence. He just blocked the whole thing. The third son, as he approached the door, he didn't even walk in. He could feel that there was somebody behind the door. And he said, "Father, this doesn't feel right. What's going on here?" And the father, "Well, actually, I was going to test you and this assailant behind the door." And so to me, that's a great illustration of the truth that the more we mature in our understanding, the less violence we cause. You know, people who haven't really practiced meditation very much, haven't really taken time to go deep in their understanding of themselves and the world, end up sort of believing whatever the doctor says, believing whatever the media says, and they end up causing a lot, leaving the system. Yeah, they just kind of create a lot of more disease and problems. They don't really have the capacity to question it. And so they end up contributing to violence in the society. And those who take more time to learn and practice and develop their ability to discern what's going on and quiet their mind and tune into their intuition, you know, the inner wisdom, and not just trust whatever the outer authorities say, but to actually open their minds and hearts to another way of being, I think that's really the path forward for all of us to do the inner work. And that's why I so appreciate being with Madeline, because she's so committed to the inner work and every day doing that. And I just see after 30 years of being with her every single day, practically, every day I see more beauty and new aspects of awareness and things. It's just a never-ending adventure of discovery. So, and I think that's what our life is.
Are you tapping into the God in your heart and soul? You actually have conversations with the universe?
Yeah, I mean, probably just practicing to be in one with.
With who? Explain that. People out there don't know what you
mean. With the universe, you call it spirit, God, all kinds of name, whatever you please it to be, but it's the universal wisdom.
So tell what the universe tells you. What's the most resonant? What do you hear constantly? What empowers you the most? What gives you gratitude to be a human being and be alive?
I just feel it right somewhere, heart and solar plexus. When I'm in sync with, then I feel just totally well. I feel it's clear light for me to do whatever I have to do.
So you never doubt yourself once you tap into getting rid of the intellect and trusting God?
No, then I go full speed.
Well, that's hard in this world because
yes,
everything's gnawing at you, as you pointed out. We went from 1990 having 800 images a day trying to sell us something to nearly 3,000 a day today.
Right.
So we're being bombarded constantly.
Yes.
And now with AI, it's going to be worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think for the listeners, I think, and you know, we're talking about mental and spiritual, and we also need to mention how violently we deal with our food. We fry it, we bake, we make fancy things. And I think people need to understand we are very much on a raw food diet, which means that I take everything out of the garden and eat it like it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What a difference.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that because the movement for health and for animal liberation and for environmental sustainability, they really are one movement. It's a movement of reconnecting, but I think there's a lot of infiltrating forces, and people are very often pulled to eat a totally plant-based diet, but they eat processed foods, which are made in a factory. Mm-hmm. And you talk about violence. I mean, you know, you have these factories, and who knows what goes on in there, but the foods are getting, you know, refined and processed and heated
life
and stripped and destroyed.
Life expectancy of factory workers, 12 and a half years less than the average person.
Wow. Yeah. But there's all these preservatives are added. And so many people are eating like Impossible Burgers or these
now,
so-called
back to health, happiness, and healing foods. With Hippocrates on Legends 1.
Well, I think they call it plant-based because it comes from a plant, right?
471-6. Visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org.
Well, I mean, from a
now,
factory.
Now, here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates.
I really want to encourage people to, like you were saying, like have a garden, if you can have a garden or at least a farmer's market or fresh produce. and prepare it with love. And that's really the foundation for health for all of us.
The Essenes, you're going back 2,000 years ago, if you ask them about what you should do with your food, they're like, don't heat it.
let's remind everyone who the Essenes are. They were the most religious and orthodox of the Jewish tribes. Mm-hmm. They lived near the Dead Sea. And we don't guess a lot about them because the anthropologists found a lot. The Dead Sea Scrolls were the Essenes. Mm-hmm. They were only discovered in the 1940s. We actually saw the cave they were discovered by an Arab, by a Muslim boy who was a sheep herder. And they're now, they've been analyzed and continue to be analyzed. But they actually sprouted. They actually lived on living food. Mm-hmm. They were completely plant-based. They were in tune with the earth. They were in tune with God. And, you know, this is where a lot of this came from. And sadly, we've even corrupted religion.
Yeah.
Because we manifested money from religion. And we said, okay, now listen, you know, this is the way it has to be. And if you don't do that, man manipulating people to join the religion, you're going to burn in hell. So you've got to join up with us, and you've got to pay us, and you've got to support us. And, you know, it's just an ironic thing that everything good, if you leave them in the hands of low-conscious people who are killers, who are murderers, basically it's going to actually destroy and corrupt even the best of all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think, like you say, it's a matter of vibration. You know, each one of us, again, take responsibility for the quality of the vibration that we're on, because we're being bombarded, like you said, with pretty much low vibratory input from like the music nowadays. It's got a lot of harsh words and melodies. I mean, it's just harsh. Architecture, the food, the programming on the mainstream media, it's all basically based on fear and a sense of divisiveness. And so to create beauty, that's what I love about Madeline too, is this idea of just creating a space of love, a space of beauty, a space of health and sanity. And we can each do that in our home. Like everybody can, in their home or their car, their space, create a beauty. And as we do that, we can just multiply that and share that through however we can, through social media, through our relationships, through spreading the word, the good news, you know, that this earth is beautiful. That's the main thing you can see. One of the things we see traveling all over the world, we've been, you know, all over China and India, all over Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, all over Europe, South America, Africa, Middle East, everywhere we go, and we're bringing the vegan message, and it's wonderful to be with other vegans spreading the message and speaking at veg fests, and we see a lot of beauty there. But when we just get out into the bush and into nature, and swim in the rivers and hike in the mountains, and it's just spectacular to see such an incredibly beautiful planet. And I think that awareness encourages us to do what we can to protect this for our children and for the children of all living beings. And the main way is really through food. That's our biggest impact on the environment, is through the food. The cutting down of forests is the worst possible thing. You know, a tree is a fountain of water, basically.
For hundreds of years old.
Yeah, and they're just, but they create rain. I mean, they create clouds.
Exactly.
And we're cutting down forests. And most people think, I think they're misinformed. They think we're cutting down forests to grow soybeans for people to eat. I hear that. Oh, you vegans are eating tofu. That's bad for the environment. They don't really say that. They don't realize that cutting down the forest is all for animal agriculture. Animal agriculture is destroying forests and ocean habitat. And we're in the middle of the largest mass extinction of species in 65 million years. That's something you can't reverse. When species go extinct, that's really serious.
Well, let's give you the numbers on that. So 36 species a day perish. Mm. So that means they're gone permanently.
Yeah.
And 12 species that the biologists and naturalists tell us we haven't identified are dying.
Right. We don't even know what they are.
I don't know what they are.
Right.
And, you know, so many of you may want to write this down. Now on YouTube, you can see a documentary that was made about Hippocrates. It was wonderful, an artistic, beautiful guy.
Yeah, we saw that last night.
You enjoyed
it?
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Beautiful. Wasn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
And he came, and I couldn't have done even fraction as well if I thought I knew how to do it. I certainly didn't. I realize that now. And he came in, and he actually just sat there and realized what we were doing. And he actually empowered me more after 54 years to know what I'm doing better than I knew what I was doing. He showed that it's all about opening the people's hearts. Mm-hmm. And allowing the people to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. It's not about giving orders and following rules.
Right. And you say it in the documentary very well. We're not here to heal you. You're here to heal you. It's in your hands. That's really the key.
And the nature scenes in there. So it's on YouTube. It's called Wellness, A Journey to Transformation. Mm-hmm. And it starts with Paul McCartney's former wife, who we love this woman. She's Anna Maria. She's my second favorite woman in the world. This woman is a powerhouse.
She's a powerhouse.
Heather Mills, right.
She's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, here, liver cancer, the guy who was off his cane in a week and a half. And a year later, off his cane. Mm-hmm. You know, these are human stories, touching stories. Mm-hmm. And it's not about what Hippocrates does. It's what people allow themselves to do in the environment we create. Mm-hmm. We can't do anything except be humbled by the fact that we have a gift to do this.
Beautiful.
Have the gift. We're given a gift to do this.
We have the tools.
Yeah, the tools. That's it.
Right. Well said.
Mm. Yeah. So, Madeline, what's it like to be married to this philosopher?
He's my favorite of all guys in the universe. And I think it's very exciting. I'm surprised sometimes what he can do beside writing and making beautiful music.
Yeah.
And he can actually fix something on the car. He can, I mean, everything he takes in his hand, he just
I didn't know you could do that. Boy, don't tell Anna Maria that.
The music you make is fantastic.
Yeah, so,
oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
The Tuttles are actually in residence with us a third of every year. Mm-hmm. And so they come around the holidays, and it's just a special time for me. I've always appreciated the feeling of love in the air around the holidays. You know, people just let themselves be more like themselves and let go. And, you know, so, and then you stay until the early spring. So you're here to give music and your guidance and talks. And I hope you're going to start doing talks on your new book. It will be out once again. When? In February, March?
February, March. It should be out. Yes.
Your title?
And the title is Food for Freedom, How to Reclaim Our Health and Rescue Our World.
Reclaim Our Health and Rescue. Boy, that's an intense title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we better run you for something. Now,
I wish.
How do people get a hold of that book in advance?
Yeah, we have a website. You just go to either willtuttlemyname.com or World Peace Diet, which is the number one Amazon bestseller that we
Tuttle
wrote.
Tuttle sounds like turtle, so say, spell it.
Spell it.
Will, W-I-L-L, Tuttle, T-U-T-T-L-E .com or worldpeacediet.com. And we have everything right there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So they can order that now and you'll get it in the next month and a half to 2 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in the final talk that we're going to have here to all the people all over the planet that spend time with us in this family of love and happiness, give some advice. We'll start with Madeline. Mm-hmm. If you were asked, what are the most important things people should be thinking about now in their life? And speak for women and men, but mostly women in this case. What do you think you should talk about?
Yes. We have to open up and not aimlessly wishing something and expecting something, going more to the heart. And women are a little bit better to do that. Yeah. Men still need lots of centers to go and refresh there. Yeah. That's how I think, you know. Yeah. But there are exceptions. And so when we open our heart, then we can get the messages which are very important, and together as couples or groups, we can actually manifest this on Earth and make a better Earth.
And guide humanity out of the darkness. And we need the feminine mystique at this point. We need the heart. We need the love.
Yeah.
And why women are better at that, you live more in the limbic brain. You know, there's three brains. Men live in the reptile brain mostly.
And fight and
so
flight.
When the limbic brain developed several million years ago, that's when empathy and compassion came in. How about you, Will?
You know, I think everybody wants to learn, and I think that's great, but I think we need to really unlearn.
Yeah.
We need to unlearn so much. Almost everything we think is true, it's actually not true. I'm realizing this. As the older I get, I just now am entered for the first time my 70s. And it's remarkable to me how much I need to keep unlearning. And I would guess that going along with that is just questioning all the official narratives and connecting, as Madeline said, with the heart, the inner wisdom. It's there, taking time every day to connect with nature and with our creativity, with gratitude, and to be loving, because we're only here a short time. I love this saying by the oldest living human being. They said she was 117, and they said, what's it like to be 117? She said, all I can say is it really went by awfully fast.
That's the right perspective. she thought she was 20 the whole time. How about you, Anna Maria?
I look forward to future. I think we have younger generation that's going to unlearn a lot of things. And of course, the more we can help them, mm-hmm. the faster they're going to get, because they are in a trauma. Mm-hmm. They feel the trauma of the world and the climate change and the food and the learning and the school, and it's so much stress on them,
right,
that, you know, we need to make them understand they're going to be fine, but we should never put that stress on the youth, because they're going to have to grow up and take over. And they're going to be caretaker for so many. Look, by 2035, there'll be 1 billion people that are over 65.
Mm. Yeah.
So we need to cherish these kids. We need to take care of them the right way. Mm. And, you know, we don't want them to be sick. And so many of them are sick now. The more that we can help them on their journey, to me as a mother, that's the most important.
And we're going to do something unconventional. You know, Lauren is our friend and also the engineer that's in here. You don't ever hear her. And we want you to tell us, Lauren, what you think.
I think simplicity in life is best. I think going forward, I think people should relish the simple things in life, whether it's their sunrise and their sunset and breathing every day. Simple food, vegetables, fruits, things like that. Good water, which is difficult to find if you know the truth. And just have that as your peace of mind and joy going forward, because materialistic things and everything like that mean nothing if you don't have health.
You're right.
Yeah.
We're lucky enough to all see that on the front line. So I'm going to chime in here a little bit. I think that all of you are remarkable human beings, and I hope that the time we spend together, that you get to know that a little bit more so that you trust yourself. And once you trust yourself and understand that there's nothing that you cannot do, there's nothing you cannot achieve, the world becomes a much easier place to live. You actually at that point start to feel and manifest to become an example for other people. You know, you become a walking, living example of what a human being is and capable of. But for this whole week, practice being you. Be well.
Well your world and transform your life. Hippocrates Wellness has been healing people, reversing chronic disease, and boosting immunity and longevity for over 70 years. Located in West Palm Beach on 60 lush tropical acres, Hippocrates Wellness has a program for you. Call them at 561-471-8876. Reserve a consultation and tour today. Visit their website at HippocratesInst.org. Call 561-471-8876. Thanks for listening to Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org.